So today's reading is Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. Luke chapter 10, 25 to 37, the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this place of worship that we can come to freely and worship you and learn from your word. And Lord, we thank you that even when there are obstacles to our coming here, that you help us and that we know that you are always here in our midst. And I just thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Holy Spirit who speaks to us. And I pray this morning that you would be with the pastor and touch his heart and his mouth. And I pray that that the words that we hear would teach us and inspire us. And we just thank you for all your blessings and ask for your hand on this morning's service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
A lawyer who knew the scripture well came to Jesus and asked him a question. It was a good question, but the reason he asked the question was not to learn the truth, but rather he wanted to test Jesus. Jesus, knowing this man's heart, challenged him with another question. The lawyer's question was, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus' answer was, what is it written in the law, and how do you read it?" The lawyer then recites from the Ten Commandments the following: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Luke 10:27. The lawyer, to justify himself now for asking a question that he knew the answer already, and to gain credibility, he asked for an interpretation. "Well," he said, "what I mean or what I meant was, who is my neighbor?" Jesus' response was the parable of the Good Samaritan. The usual interpretation of the parable of the Good Samaritan is that we must be like the Good Samaritan and love and even love our enemy and even help our enemies. But this morning I will give you another application of this familiar parable, and instead of asking who is my neighbor, I will turn that question around and ask, who is my good Samaritan? The man in the story who was robbed and left there half naked or half dead represents me and every sinner. This man was going from Jerusalem, the city of peace, to Jericho. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho is downward, a distance of about 17 miles and a descent from 2,500 feet above sea level to about 800 feet below sea level. The road ran through rocky desert country, which was full of robbers who would attack defenseless travelers and passersby. This man was attacked by thieves. Satan is a thief. John 10:10 says, "The thief, Satan, comes only to steal and kill and destroy." Satan is the thief in the Garden of Eden and here today. So, looking back in the story, the man who was robbed represents me and every sinner. The man who was attacked by thieves, and the thief is Satan. Number three, the thieves in the story left the man stripped and half dead. Stripped. Adam and Eve were actually very well, they had a very beautiful life, well provided for. And Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden were stripped of everything they had. The only thing left to them was their new mortal bodies. God had made them complete, holy, righteous, but Satan, the oldest thief, stripped them from all that. Now they were without righteousness. Half dead, in the story means, or at least represents, the devil who robbed them of everything they had, including their immortality, and left them half dead. That is Adam and Eve. And as a result of that, we all are dead spiritually. In Ephesians 2 verses 1 to 5, we see that. And I'll only quote a little bit. It says, "We were dead in transgressions." Second, the priests and the Levites represent all empty solutions for sinners. Actually, the priests represent the condemnation of the law. No love, no pity, just judgment. And I quote an imaginary priest giving advice to someone. "You should not have come this way," or giving advice to this good Samaritan. He would have said, "You should not have come this way. It's all your fault." And today, many churches will be practicing a message of condemnation. And I know, and I've heard people personally who would say, "Well, I was not healed when I went to this healing service because I don't have enough faith," the elder said. "Or I've been told that it's lack of faith that it is the lack of faith that keeps me ill or not blessed." And this is what actually the temple priest or the priest would be doing, just condemning people. And then the Levite represents religious instructions and ceremonies. For example, he would say to this good Samaritan, "I could have told you the route you should have taken. Let me tell you the route you must take next time." And again, there are millions of books written about how to do things. There are millions of books written about
how you should live a Christian life, how you should not sin, how you should overcome depression, how you should come alcoholism, how you should overcome this, how you should be able to speak in tongues, how you can have the power to heal other people, and there are instruction books everywhere. And yet, there aren't enough Good Samaritans to put their life on the line to save someone or help someone go through that difficult period of time. So the priest represents condemnation, and the Levites and the instructors and the teachers represent, and that of those days represents today's philosophers and teachers who only rely on their doctrines and rely on their own knowledge and understanding. Neither of these would help the poor, naked, bleeding, half-dead traveler in his need. No amount of counseling or preaching or judging would make this wounded man better. He would have bled to death. And I know from my own experience, when I found myself in a situation where a family was mourning a dead person, and what they really wanted and needed was not someone telling them, it's okay, don't worry about it, there is a heaven up there and there's a place prepared. All that is true. And they don't want to really hear verses being quoted, because they've been reading those verses for many years. What they want someone is to join them in their moment of sorrow, as Jesus joined those who were weeping for Lazarus who had died. And instead of giving them a great big speech or a sermon, he also was emotionally involved and joined them emotionally and had tears in his eyes. And I've shared this before. This is, I suppose, another moment that I would like to share this. When we had a very young lady who died at the age of 39. Her name was Nancy Brossard. And she had been on this pulpit many times with her children and her husband singing. And when she had cancer and she was dying, just a couple of days before she died, she had gone to Kingston, Ontario, to be treated there for cancer. And when she called me, I was talking to her, and when she started saying a few things, I couldn't continue, and I really had tears in my eyes, and I apologized for having those tears and sort of weeping with her, because she was. And she said, Pastor Joseph, let me tell you this. I've heard many, many people give me advice. I've heard many people read verses, and yet I wanted someone to join me in my sorrow and shed a few tears with me. And I really appreciate this, and you have given me the best possible gift. And that's what this man needed. The Good Samaritan did not need the priest, and that's why God did not even move the heart of the priest, because God knew what the priest would do and say, what are you doing there alone, and, you know, and give him a big speech. And then when the Pharisees and the teachers went by, God didn't even allow them to go down, because he knew that they would be condemning the man, and they wouldn't even be able to touch him anyways, because they didn't feel like dirtying their hands. And so we continue with the story of this man who was injured and thrown outside the road. The human heart is in need of more than exposition, judgment, and instruction. And while human beings are hurting and slowly dying spiritually, emotionally, and even physically, there are those who will not move a little finger to help, yet they will glow with self-righteousness and be quick to judge. People need to be saved. In other words, lost people need to be saved, need salvation. And no matter how many orchestras a church is, no matter how many people with the guitar and trumpet and whatever, they are sort of making people feel good and serving a purpose in the church. These guitars and these musicians and these pastors and these elders would be useless unless they are useless until they go out and find those who are being lost. The church is not in the business of entertaining, but is in the business of saving lost souls. Now we look at the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan represents Jesus, the Savior. The Samaritan, as all Samaritans, were rejected. He was a rejected person. Jews considered the Samaritans half-breeds and rejected them. As a matter of fact, there is a verse in the Bible where you read that when Samaritans were compared to prostitutes, and that's how bad it was. And yet, this Samaritan was the one that stopped to help a Jew. So was Jesus rejected and despised by his own. In Isaiah 53, verse 3, we read, "He was despised and rejected by man." Just like the Samaritan, Jesus had a definite destination. He knew why he had come and where he was going. In Luke 19, verse 10, we read, "For the Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and to save what was lost." The Good Samaritan had a compassion, had a lot of compassion on this man, and helped him. Jesus had compassion on us, the lost sinners, and he gave his life for us all. Yes, I know I'm changing the story a little bit, and yet I believe this fits very the life of Jesus and his visit to this earth fits very nicely to the story. The Good Samaritan bound up the wound the wounds of the injured man, getting right to the heart of the problem. Jesus' mission was to heal wounds and save people from death, and he dealt with the human heart problem. And the mission of Jesus was not only to come and introduce his mission, his gospel, but his mission was also to heal the heart of the human heart. His mission was to touch and restore broken heart and mend broken heart. The Samaritan poured his wine, a disinfectant, and washed the man's wounds clean. Jesus poured his blood to disinfect and wash our wounds clean and give us life. This is one of the reasons why we have communion service, to remember the purpose of the coming of Jesus Christ, to remember that he poured his blood on the cross to wash us, the dying people in sin. So the Good Samaritan is Jesus Christ, and the man who is dying in his wounds or in his sins is us. The Samaritan poured oil, Jesus poured his blood. The Samaritan took care of him. Even afterward, he took him to an inn, a hotel, and paid the price. As a matter of fact, the Samaritan paid for all the care the injured man needed until the Samaritan would return. Jesus did all that and more. He even has promised to take us to his home to spend eternity with him. The story of the Good Samaritan is not yet finished. Jesus is still looking for and finding the injured, the wounded, and the dying to help them, save them, and give them eternal life with him in heaven. Now, having said all this, I would like to add to this comment that the purpose of the church is to be the hands and eyes and ears of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is the Good Samaritan, as I described him, and then the Good Samaritan should continue the job of reaching out to those who are lost, to those who are injured, to those who are found dying, bleeding spiritually and even physically. And I believe that the job of the church is precisely that, to be the Good Samaritan and reach out. Because Jesus taught us, because he was the good example, because he was the Good Samaritan who came and saved our souls and restored our soul, and he poured his blood for our salvation, and he said, continue. And that is why Jesus said, and now I send you, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So if then Jesus is our Good Samaritan, and Jesus gave us instructions to continue the work, then we must be like the Good Samaritan and not like the priest and the scribes and the Pharisees. The story of Good Samaritan is not yet finished. And I am one of those who Jesus saved. I was lost, wounded, and injured by sin and rejected by those who went by. But then Jesus, my Good Samaritan, came along and washed my wounds with his blood and poured his Holy Spirit on me, not because I deserved it, I deserved his attention, but because he loved me the way I was. Jesus, my God, Good Samaritan, paid it all, and he promised to take me and those who are saved by him to be with him forever. And at this point, before I close, I would like to say to you, please meet my Good Samaritan, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And if we then have received Christ in our heart, in our lives, then my Good Samaritan, Jesus Christ, has asked me to be now his representative, I to be his hands, to be his eyes, to be his heart, and reach out to those who are lost and who need salvation. To reach out to my classmates, if you are going to school, if you are working, to reach out to your co-workers, if you are at home, to pick up the phone and instead of gossiping or sharing jokes or doing things that will not build anyone, to pray for someone or reach to someone who is suffering, who is lonely, who is depressed, and bring the good news. And if every Christian would become the ambassador of Jesus Christ, and thus, through Jesus Christ, become the Good Samaritan, then I believe many millions of souls would find salvation and would be healed spiritually, and the church will be filled. And even though we have obstacles this morning, the church could have been filled if we were driven by the desire to be good Samaritans and help those who are on the way to the church, those who are suffering, those who come to church or cannot come to church. It doesn't matter. We must reach them out and bring the good news about our Good Samaritan, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you so much for being with us, for guiding us, protecting us. Thank you, Lord, for enabling us to come here. And Lord, be with us for the rest of the day and for the rest of our Christian journey. And help us to be good Samaritans wherever we are, representing you, not because we are good, not because we know how to do it, but because you will guide us and lead us and help us
to reach out to those in need. And Lord, I pray for those who have had a difficult day today just trying to get to church. Help them and give them peace and calm their souls and lives. In your blessed name I pray, amen.